Good morning. It's March 26th. It is a cloudy morning in New York City. And this is your Indignity Morning Podcast, now hosted on Ghost, if all goes well. I'm your host, Tom Skoka, taking a look at the day and the news. Early this morning, a cargo ship leaving the port of Baltimore crashed into one of the central supports of the Francis Scott Key Bridge, causing the entire span to collapse into the Patapsco River. An unknown number of people are missing, and sonar has reportedly found multiple vehicles in the water. The collapse has indefinitely cut off all access to the Port of Baltimore, with the ruins of the bridge blocking the shipping channel, and has severed the Baltimore Beltway. The Guardian reports that the ship, the Dali, which is registered in Singapore, carried an Indian crew, and was chartered by the Danish shipping giant Maersk, was previously damaged when it collided with a quay in Antwerp, leaving the port in clear weather. Video of this crash shows the ship barreling directly into the bridge support, demolishing the entire span within about 15 seconds. In today's newspaper, what kind of day was yesterday for Donald Trump? The New York Times has it as a bad day. The top left-hand story in the paper is that Trump finally has a firm trial date for one of his criminal cases, as a Manhattan judge, in the word of the Times, slammed the arguments the former president's lawyers made that his trial on charges surrounding his hush money payments should be delayed or thrown out. The legal calendar says that he will definitely go to trial on April 15th. Then again, the legal calendar also definitely said that yesterday would be the day that Trump would be required to post bond in his civil fraud case. But as a little referral right below the fold says, an appeals court unexpectedly intervened, cutting the approximately $500 million that Trump owed by two-thirds or so and giving him 10 more days to pay up. That story on page A13 does not mention that with the completion of the merger between Trump Media and Digital World Acquisition Corp., Trump's net worth on paper went up by $4 billion yesterday. At least that's what Bloomberg has, announcing that he has now joined the news services list of the 500 wealthiest people in the world. Inside the business section, the Times does report that, as of December at least, Jeff Yass, the billionaire Wall Street financier and Republican megadonor, who is a major investor in the parent company of TikTok, was also the biggest institutional shareholder of the shell company that recently merged with former President Donald J. Trump's social media company. Does this account for Donald Trump going from supporting a TikTok ban to opposing a TikTok ban? Surely Trump would never let his personal financial interests shape his policy positions. Anyway, on paper, he's a meme stock billionaire. The stock seems doomed to go to zero if he doesn't win the presidency, but the money from the stock might keep him afloat long enough to win the presidency back. Elsewhere on page one, the Times reconstructs how, for a couple days in February, former Brazilian President Jair Bolsonaro holed up in the Hungarian embassy after federal police in Brazil confiscated his passport. This is the sort of thing that happens when you try to do a coup in a country that actually believes coups can happen and doesn't believe the problem will just go away if you ignore it. Speaking of passivity as policy, the lead story on page one is that the United States moved from vetoing ceasefire resolutions about Gaza at the UN to abstaining in yesterday's ceasefire vote, a little bit of nuance that won them absolutely nothing from Israel. The Times says that Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's office called the abstention a clear departure from the consistent U.S. position in the Security Council since the beginning of the war. Correct, yes, that was the point. And said it harms both the war effort and the effort to release the hostages. Of course, the vote harms the war effort. Again, that's the point. The war effort has made Gaza uninhabitable and is starving 2.2 million people. As for Netanyahu's effort to get back the Israeli hostages, it's hard to see how you can harm something that never existed. Speaking of empty intentions, next to that is a little story about House Speaker Mike Johnson, who has, the Times reports, repeatedly expressed a personal desire to send aid to Ukraine, something he has voted against repeatedly in the past. If only there were someone who could lead such an effort, to speak up for it in the House, as it were. Ah well. That is the news. Thank you for listening. Please subscribe to Indignity, now on Ghost, to keep us going. And if this new setup works, we will talk again tomorrow.